Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
We're going to talk about mental health services now because our next guest says when she graduated from medical school in 2005, there were 4,000 acute mental health beds in Ireland. Today, that number has decreased to just 1,000. She says in real terms, what that means is that for every four patients we would have admitted to hospital in 2005, we would only admit one today, which means hospital consultants regularly have to make very tough choices about who gets a bed and who doesn't. Well, Dr. Anne Doherty is an IHCA member and consultant liaison psychiatrist at the Mater Hospital in Dublin, and she joins us now on the line. And thank you very much, Dr. Doherty, for joining us this evening. Very stark figures there, from 4,000 to 1,000 acute beds in the last 15 years. How has that come to pass? Is it, you know, by accident? Is it down to funding, or is it deliberate?
Well, first of all, thank you very much, Sarah, for having me on this evening. In answer to your question, I suppose it has, you know, obviously back in the past, there were many tens of thousands of beds in old institutions in Ireland. So part of the process of deinstitutionalisation was to move the care of patients from institutional-based care or hospital-based care into community or outpatient settings. And that has been progressing, I suppose, gradually since probably the 1970s. And, you know, things like, a lot of the bigger older buildings, as you probably know, are no longer up and running, which is a good thing in many, many respects. The problem is that now we have 22 beds per 100,000 patients, and that is greatly less than the EU average, which is 70 beds per 100,000, which is more than three times the number. So we've almost gone too far. And what that means in real terms, again, is that we can't always admit a hospital when somebody needs it. And that would be okay if we had things like crisis teams that could support people outside of hospitals. But in the absence of those sorts of services, it's quite challenging, and really I'm not sure it does people justice. And again, a lot of this comes back to funding, because we know that in Ireland about 5% of the whole health budget goes to mental health, even though it's probably 30% of the actual burden of illness. Whereas in the UK, in the Netherlands, in New Zealand, in most other developed countries, the funding is 12 to 13% of the whole health budget. So I think the problem is that we're not funding it, really.
And when you say we're not funding it, is it that, just to be clear, there's a policy here to move away from institutionalisation, which is why the beds are being cut. You're supportive of that as a policy, but the problem is the other services or facilities to replace those beds, to give people somewhere else to go, they haven't been put in place. Is that right?
That's part of the problem. I think, to be honest, the number of beds is too little now. We've probably gone too far with it, because, you know, we really should be in a position where if somebody needs an inpatient bed, we can provide them with an inpatient bed without having to go to extreme lengths to find one at the other end of the country. So, you know, there is a sense that maybe they've been cut too far, but usually in most countries where beds have been cut, as they have pretty much internationally, this is usually supported by increased services like crisis teams. So when I worked in London, I worked in South London for a number of years, and when I was there, we had crisis teams. And, you know, if you saw somebody in the emergency department that you were very worried about and you felt you needed a very intense level of care, and maybe they didn't want to come into hospital, or maybe it wasn't possible to get a bed, you could have, you know, staff from the crisis team out to their home within a couple of hours, starting the process of their treatment and their care moving forward. But that's not available in most areas in Ireland, and it's a problem, and it does patients a big disservice, really.
So what happens here in that exact situation where somebody needs help but they're in their home? What happens?
Well, a lot will depend on where people are and how badly resourced or how overstretched the local services are. So, you know, in Ireland we work on a catchment basis area, or a catchment area basis rather, which means basically that, you know, your public health, your public community mental health team depends on where you live. Now, different teams will have different levels of resourcing. Some may have several gaps in their teams. We know, for example, that 30% of consultant psychiatry posts in Ireland are vacant, or they're filled by locums, but they're not filled on a permanent basis. And there are lots of other vacancies across other aspects of the teams as well, the gaps in terms of mental health, nursing, psychology, etc. So a lot will depend on what members of the team are available and what the degree of stretch on the service will be. You know, in some cases you can get people seen the next day, but that is not by any means the go-to standard.
So you're talking about a postcode lottery there, really, depending on where you live, and depends on the services that you have. You also talk about the tough choices that consultants have to make, which I can imagine if we're down 4,000 beds to 1,000 beds in 15 years. Do you find yourself in a situation where, I'm sure you do really, if the beds aren't there, where you have to turn away people? And what happens then? Or can you give us some examples of situations that you found yourself in?
So, you know, routinely, you know, the patients that we would have seen, say, 15 years ago that, you know, may have been suicidal or whatever, or presented, you know, in acute distress, we probably would have admitted them in the main, whereas that's just not possible anymore. Really, we tend to have to keep the acute mental health beds for people who are acutely and very, very severely unwell, people with severe psychoses, etc. On top of that, basically it's a question of trying to find a way of meeting their needs within the available services, but bearing in mind that services are very stretched. So there's outpatient care, there's day hospital care, you know, there are various kind of types of care available depending on the area you're in.
Gosh, but that's amazing.
You're talking about
people who are suicidal not meeting the bar of being acutely ill enough to get a bed because of the lack of bed. So what happens then to a patient who's suicidal? What do you do?
So we do our very best to, you know, obviously if there's a major mental illness, if there's an acute risk, we will, you know, it depends on the situation, but you try to get a bed. If we feel that somebody absolutely needs a bed and there's no other way of managing it, obviously we will look at doing that. You'll find a way, is there anywhere safe they can go? You'll find a way of trying to get care for the next day. And that wouldn't, you know, everybody who's suicidal doesn't need to be in hospital necessarily, but they do need to have care, and we do need to make sure that people's mental health is being looked after and any illnesses are being treated.
And is that happening, or are people falling through the cracks?
On the whole, it depends quite a lot, and it depends on the area, and it depends on what's available in the given area. But the reality is that services are so very, very stretched. Again, it's that 5% of funding versus 12 to 13%. So it's, you know, it is quite a limitation. And obviously we do our best on a clinical basis and we give people the best care that we possibly can. But because of those limitations in the care and because of the stretchedness of services, it becomes quite challenging to offer people the care that we might like to give them if we had carte blanche to do whatever we wanted.
And if they can't then get the help that they need, I know the CEO of the Mental Health Commission, John Farrelly, has spoken about issues around this as well. And he said, while Ireland closed the old asylums, for many, essential expert acute mental health care has been replaced by institutionalisation in prisons and homeless services. Would that be your experience as well, that's where some people end up?
Absolutely. And unfortunately, it's the people with the most severe mental illnesses who end up in these settings. So people, unfortunately, who are due to poor mental health, are unable to keep their jobs up, unable to keep their rent payments up, very quickly slide into homelessness. And likewise, we see people ending up in the criminal justice system, often, you know, in remand settings for very minor offences. And I know that our colleagues in the forensic services have talked about the numbers of patients in prisons who are acutely unwell, and that they're, you know, obviously struggling to get them into a more appropriate setting. But again, you know, if we had more beds, if we had, I suppose, a greater degree of flexibility in the service, if it wasn't so overstretched all the time, we might be able to pick up those people before they become that unwell and maybe give them more assertive treatment at an earlier stage, And I'm talking particularly about the people with severe mental illnesses, things like schizophrenia, bipolar, you know, the really, really severe illnesses that are significant brain diseases.
Okay, just finally then, you're talking about 22 beds per 100,000. What do we need to get to come some way to resolving this issue?
Well, the EU average is 70, and the Oireachtas Committee on Mental Health, which met 2 years ago, I think, or about 18 months ago, they recommended that we should be aiming in the short term to get to 50 beds per 100,000. Ireland. But unfortunately, that doesn't seem to have translated into any public policy. It hasn't made it into the latest mental health statements like Sharing the Vision, or which are the kind of the policy documents in the areas of mental health service development. So that was recommended by the Oireachtas Committee, but it's slow to turn into actual reality, unfortunately.
All right, well, we'll certainly return to this topic at some point, but thank you very much for joining us this evening. That's Dr. Anne Doherty.